And we have a second reading today. So please do turn to 2 Peter, on page 1222 in the Church Bible. 2 Peter, chapter 1. And in a moment, start at the first one. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need to a godly life through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please do keep your Bibles open there at 2 Peter, because that is where we are going to be today, and actually for the coming few weeks as we work our way through this little book. So let's pray, shall we, and ask for God's help. Father God, we thank you so much. Your words, thank you that you reveal yourself to us through it, in every single word in it. And we pray, Lord, that as we start looking at this new letter, this new book, this new letter to us, we ask, Lord, that you would be working in our hearts and minds to see you and the Lord Jesus God there, to love you and Him, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I say it's a new book, it's been in the Bible a long time. It's just not been a book we've preached to recently. Because actually, I've never preached through 2 Peter. It's just that one of those books I've ever preached through. Some of us might have heard from 2 Peter in previous churches, which was great if that's the case. But for many of us, it's going to be the first time we actually dip our toe into spiritual toes into this book. And as ever, when you come to a new book of the Bible, one of the questions that we should be asking ourselves is this: what is the one or two big things that God tells us of this book of the Bible, or from any book of the Bible? I mean, the Bible is rich and deep, and there's lots of things that God tells us from any book. But remember, God, as He put the Bible together, He put them together not in chapters and verses, but what units did He put them together in? Books. And therefore, we want to listen carefully to the big things that God has to say from any of the books, and that. Why it's important is, if you like, it's what God is shouting at us as we think about the whole book. Now, working out what God is saying from the whole book is sometimes straightforward, such as in John's Gospel. Let me just read this from John's Gospel. We're told this at near the end in chapter 20. John performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. And here it comes. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in His name. You want to say, thanks John, you made it crystal clear. These things are written so you may believe in Jesus, the Messiah, and have life. However, many books of the Bible don't have such an obvious verse saying this is written for this reason. Sometimes actually it's quite hard to work it out. Other times, you've got to be careful. But often, the final words in a book gives a big clue. So in 2 Peter, just turn to the last few verses, please. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the knowledge in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So then the last couple of verses, there's two big things noted. First, the first thing is be on your guard. There's going to be people who tell lies about Jesus. Watch out for them. But then secondly, in the last verse, it is grow, isn't it? Grow in Jesus, in your love for him, in your likeness of him, in your service of him. And we're going to see those two themes picked up throughout 2 Peter over these coming weeks. Very simply, watch out and grow. And today, Peter kicks off with grow. So please flip back with me to chapter 1 and verse 8. Chapter 1 and verse 8. But if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As certain qualities increase in each Christian person that Peter was writing to in the original church and to us, as those qualities increase, they'll become more effective, more productive for Jesus. And isn't that something that every Christian longs for? I mean, even when we feel like a rubbish Christian, and if we feel like we've let Jesus down in so many ways, deep down, don't we just want to be productive and effective for Jesus? But how does that happen? How does God take people like you and me, who fail Jesus in so many ways? I'm just talking about myself, because I know I fail Jesus in so many ways. How does he make us useful and productive for his kingdom? Well, our first point this morning, God has fully equipped you. God has fully equipped you. Let me read verses 1 and 2 from the beginning again. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Peter, the apostle who's got the authority of Jesus behind him, reminds them in verse 1 there that their faith is just as precious as his faith. That your faith in Jesus is fundamentally the same as Peter's faith in Jesus. You know what I mean? And this is the Peter who walked on water with Jesus' help, who was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus had a chinwag with Elijah and Moses. The same Peter who saw the resurrected Jesus with his own eyes. We have the same faith as him. If we know and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no difference. We're not second-class citizens just because we've lived 2,000 years after Jesus came to earth. We have the same faith. And then Peter continues pushing him in the same direction in verse 2. Because there, God gives gifts to his people, and they're given what? In abundance. He doesn't just give a little bit out, being a bit stingy. Gives his grace and peace out in abundance. And then verse 3, please look with me at verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Can you see how God is just piling up the generosity of what God has done for his people? God has given us some of what we need for a godly life. It doesn't say some of them what we need, does it? But that's what we think. That's our temptation. God, I know, I can see God helping me sometimes, but it feels like, you could help me a bit more, God. But the reality is this. Verse 3, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. Now, to be clear, not a perfect life. That will only happen when Jesus returns. But our lives can be radically and noticeably different for Jesus. A godly life. God fully equips us. And how? Well, let me read verse 3 again. His divine power has given us everything we need For a godly life, you are knowledge of him who called by his own glory and goodness. Through our knowledge of Jesus. That's how he equips us, through knowing Jesus. Hi guys, Sunday school is not on because of people we know, so if Hosanna would like to watch the video, she's very welcome. But that's how God equips us, by through knowing Jesus. When the Holy Spirit comes to live inside us, through the provision of God's Word. But a Christian, for someone who knows and believes in Jesus, it's more than that. We know Jesus. I mean, some people know about Jesus, don't they? But they don't know him. Some people might know Jesus a little bit. Others might know Jesus better. But God's power works a miracle in our life so we can know the Lord Jesus Christ. And guys, I'm sorry, we haven't got any crashes on, but there's no audio, I'm afraid. We've had a tech problem. But God's power works a miracle in our life so we can know Jesus. That is the key. That is how God powerfully equips you and I. Because first and foremost, it's not what you do, it's who you are. And God has successfully been equipping his people for years and years with this. You know, weak, anxious, half-hearted Christians have existed for centuries. You know, the Apostle Peter, he was one of them. You read the Gospels, how many times did Peter get it wrong? We're all one of them. But God keeps us and equips us by knowing his Son. It's that simple, but it is also that powerful. Even if we don't realise it. I've been a Christian now for nearly 40 years. And I can look back over those years, I can say hand on hand, the one big reason why I'm still a Christian today is because Jesus has kept me. Not my strength, not my will, not my spiritual sensitivity. You know, I mean, many of you know I don't have a sensitive bone in the body. It is all Jesus. His divine power keeping me holding on to him. It's the same for every Christian. And it is a miracle. We feel weak and useless. But knowing Jesus is how God equips us to be stronger than we know. So God has fully equipped you and his people. Secondly, living for Jesus matters. Please look with me at verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Can you notice how he begins this verse? Make every effort. Why? Well, the beginning of the verse tells us to look back, doesn't it? For this very reason. Make every effort because Jesus has fully equipped you. Because verse 4, eternal life is waiting for you. Christians, we've been given everything we need by the Lord to lead a godly life, to lead a radical life for Jesus. So now make use of those resources that God has given us. Let's not waste them. It's like, if you like, a continual cooperation between Jesus and you. You know, imagine a situation where a newly married couple have been given a new and empty apartment by their wealthy parents as a generous gift as they got married. And they've also received money to furnish it and to make it their home. They're able to immediately move in, aren't they? But they need to start furnishing it. That takes time and they use the money that's been provided. So they head off to the shops with the aim of furnishing their new property in a way which is attractive and makes it their home. Now, of course, that's going to take some time. It doesn't happen overnight, as different things are bought from different shops. But the aim is clear: to establish a new home for themselves. Well, so it is for believers. But instead of a beautiful home, It is a person with inner beauty that just can't be contained as we know Jesus, and it just bursts out of us. Now, we don't have time to look at everything in the list that Peter mentions, but let's just pick a few of them up. What about goodness there in verse 5? You know what I mean? People love it when Christians' goodness benefits them. I mean, perhaps at work or at school, and you're good and you help someone out and they love it. But when a Christian's goodness inconveniences them, or worse, I mean, because you're a truth teller and not a liar, you'll soon know that. But our goodness shouldn't depend on how people respond, but instead it flows from the God who is astonishingly good to you and I. In giving us, who don't deserve anything good, the priceless gift of Jesus. Our goodness flows from our faith, from our knowing Jesus. What about self-control? Self-control that also flows from faith. We don't go chasing after every blessing that this world has to offer. Because we know, actually, there's a world to come which is going to be so much better. His eternal kingdom. So we're self-controlled. We're radically different to the many non-believers who go chasing after every good thing that this world has to offer. Now, as Christians, we can enjoy good things in this world, but we're not chasing them. It's not the thing that ultimately matters to us. What about perseverance? The willingness to put up with tough times now? Because you know Jesus has got love. You know none of it will be wasted. And the certain promise of ahead. It's better times ahead. These things matter. Well, they should matter to a Christian, because verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every day, so-called ordinary godliness matters. Because it helps us to be effective and productive for Jesus. Now, at one level, that just sounds massively simple, doesn't it? God equips us by us knowing Jesus, and then that equipping empowers us to live more and more godly lives. And that's what makes us effective and productive. The problem is, many Christians, we know Jesus, and we want our lives to be productive and effective for Jesus. You know, I mean, we might read books and listen to our favourite preachers on the internet, or participate in certain spiritual practices, or go to certain conferences, because we want to be effective for Jesus. But what does God say? Living for Jesus in the everyday, ordinary, godly ways. That will make us effective, productive. I guess the question was, is, are we meant to trust God? Because I know, the more I trust on God on this, it will make a massive difference as I get up each day. I mean, we get up each day, and it depends on the type of person I'll be thinking, what do I need to achieve today? And whether you're a pastor, or you're a Christian who goes out to work, or you're retired, or going to school, you know what I mean? That's a great question to ask. And what can I achieve for God this day? You know what I mean? And for me as a pastor, it might be visiting someone, or preparing a Bible study, or praying for good people over there, or for getting a rota ready. All good things. If that's not the rota, I'm joking, but you know what I mean. But my focus instead should be on knowing Jesus and looking to do all those things I've just mentioned, but with goodness. Knowledge, self-control, brotherly affection, love for the lost world. Now, yes, I will fail in doing these things in many ways, but God help us to have these things at the forefront of our minds and our hearts. As we move further into this letter, we're going to see that there's false teachers, and they talk a lot about faith. They talk about Jesus, but their lives, well, that tells an entirely different story. And it happens today, doesn't it? So-called Christians, so-called Christian leaders, they can hammer on about faith and Jesus with such enthusiasm. You know what I mean? More enthusiastically than me, because I'm not really that sort of a woo, so type of person, am I? But if you knew them, their lives would tell a different story. It's one of the reasons why God calls his people to meet together as a church to grow in our love and knowledge of Jesus. Because apart from having the opportunity to hear from the Bible and to ask our questions and to sing praises to the Lord, you have an opportunity to see each other's lives. Yes, imperfect lives. But God willing, lives that are growing in the realities of verses 5 to 7. So we've had God has fully equipped you. Secondly, living for Jesus matters. And last of all, such people receive a rich welcome into the world. Please look with me at verse 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. But if you do these things, you will never stumble. Again, Peter is encouraging us to make every effort. And this time, because growing in godliness is evidence that we really belong to Jesus. They confirm your calling and election. That it says, oh, there's evidence in my life that I really do trust Jesus, that I really do know him. We can have confidence that one day we will be welcomed into God's kingdom, the eternal kingdom. Now, so many people get this wrong. So many people think, I just need to believe in Jesus, but that belief doesn't need to affect my behavior. That is a common problem across the church today. Other people think, if you're a goodish person, it doesn't matter what you believe. Knowing Jesus is absolutely essential. But if you know Jesus, your life will be impacted. Eternity is at stake. But as we draw to a close, I want us to do full circle back to the beginning of the sermon and return to verse 8. Let me read verse 8 again. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be effective and productive for Jesus? Well, remember, if you're a Christian, you have the same faith as the Apostle Peter. God has given everything we need in knowing Jesus to live a godly life. And then growing godly life is essential in being productive for Jesus. But keeping one eye also on that rich wealth that we will see in glory. God has done so much. But we are told here to make every effort. We have to try. Not using our own strength, but looking to Jesus and growing every day in godliness. But it does take effort. It takes effort to keep on looking at Jesus. It takes effort remembering to try to be good and show goodness while doing your job. It takes effort to remember that showing goodness while you're doing your job is more important than being good at your job. Now, it's good to be good at your job, but actually showing goodness is more important. It's the same at school or at home or wherever God puts us. With self-control and brotherly affection, all those other ones, make every effort live a life pleasing to God. And as we do, the fruit that God grows in our lives will grow and ripen for God's kingdom. And God will make us more effective and productive for him. Let's pray. Father God, we your people, we want to be effective for you. We want our lives to be lived so that they point others to Jesus, so your kingdom and your glory can be seen. And Father, thank you so much for giving us Jesus. Thank you for the wonder, the joy, and the power of knowing Jesus. You've equipped us fully, Father, and we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to use the equipment you have given us. Keep our eyes fixed on Christ. And long to see those everyday, ordinary, godly things growing in our lives.
May they become more important in our lives than perhaps they were before. Help us to perhaps see just one or two where you could particularly be changing us. Help us to be prayerful about them. Help us to long for your help. Help us not to do it in our own strength, but to come to you.